The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to another edition of the Gary Neville podcast. We're in Liverpool at Anfield, where there is a sense of foreboding, I guess, from the Liverpool point of view. Manchester City have had a really big win here. Gary, sum it up for us straight away.
Huge win for Manchester City. Really disappointing first half. We've seen a few of those types of games develop, and we was hoping that half-time that both managers got them in there and said, look, come on, you know, Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp would be saying to his players, we've got to really go for this. This is our last chance, really, to close the gap on City. And if you're Pep Guardiola, look, we're the best. Show your authority. And we saw a brilliant second half, or a far better second half.
But how much did that start with Pep Guardiola changing the tactics right from the kickoff at the second half?
I think, honestly, you can say a lot of words to players, and it can have impact on them. But the biggest demonstration that you can give to players is to make a positive substitution, because you're telling them quite categorically, we're going for this. You know, if you bring a defender on, you bring a holding midfield player on, you're telling them exactly what you want. You know, you bring a midfield player on, but then say, go for it. It's contradictory. You go and put Bernardo Silva up front with Phil Foden and say, no, we're going to go two up front. We need to go and put some more pressure on Liverpool. You're telling them that basically the intent is there to win the match. Go and win the match. And I felt in the first half, Liverpool were really tentative to start and anxious. But actually, they grew in the game through the fact that Manchester City felt to me like they were playing a game that they were imagining was going to come that didn't come. You know, you come here so often. How many times have we come here, Martin, and seen Liverpool out of the blocks? Ferocious in that first half an hour. I think City had planned for that and it didn't come. And Liverpool just are, at this moment in time, nowhere near the team that has been absolutely exceptional for 3 years. I was light on Manchester City last year when they had that year off, having had three exceptional years of performance. And I'm going to be light on Liverpool this year, because you can't go every single year, particularly for 4 years. It's just it's inconceivable that these players, the same players, as Jamie just said during commentary, a lot of the time out on the pitch, there's going to be a dip at some point, and we're seeing the dip. And it's an alarming dip, because they've been so exceptional and they're here at this moment in time.
They didn't take advantage of a gift in the first half when Manchester City got a penalty, a proper penalty, and Gundogan missed it. And it was almost as if, well, now you'd think that Liverpool would say, well, let's take advantage of this. We've been let off the hook. Let's go and get at City. But they couldn't really do that.
They couldn't, and that would have been probably in the minds. And I've been there. I've been there in teams that haven't won titles in seasons, where your mind's been there to say, actually, we can do this. We can catch these up. But then your body goes out there and it doesn't come with you. And Liverpool's physicality at this moment in time is not allowing them to get back where they need to be. You know, they're still the same players. They've still got the same desire. I don't think it's a desire issue. I'm not looking at a group of players here and saying, look, they've switched off. They've had enough. They've climbed the mountain. They're not going again. They just look drained. Absolutely mentally and physically drained. Like they've been sort of, if you like, run to the end.
It is extraordinary that it's gone wrong here, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, here, of all places, you expect them maybe to lose some away games as defending champions, but have now not won at home since mid-December. Five games. It's incredible.
And this is a place where they've been invincible for so long, and you just never see Liverpool anything other than positive here. I mean, even going back to where we were winning the league at Manchester United and you'd come here, they were always positive. They were always front foot. And they're just really tentative. They're playing extra passes. They're not being as direct in their attacking. That will point towards Thiago naturally. I don't think it's just him. It's obviously the fact that they're just generally all across the team are being more safe. Liverpool's team over the last 3 years have been breathtaking, but they've played with risk all the time. Salah, how many times does he give it away in the opposing half of the pitch where he tries to beat people and it's frustrating? You see the rest of his teammates frustrated with him. Mane as well, Firmino. The risk, the direct passes into them are not there. The risk in the game isn't there. The running in the game isn't there. And things aren't falling for them. They've had injuries. the 4 years I've said of just going for it at full pelt, the strange season that we have, a number of things can actually just happen at once, and it just feels like the perfect storm in terms of what's happening at Liverpool. I don't see it as being massive concern. I mean, it will be concern. You could go down the route of, oh, they've the one season wonders, they were never that great, all that sort of stuff. That's not the right time to say these things. This Liverpool team have been great for 3 years, and they need an opportunity now to reset in this next few months, come back next season, you know, and go again. That's what Manchester City did last year. Manchester City were awful last season to the standards they'd set themselves, but they're now coming back to it. They've got a new motivated group. They've found something without a centre-forward. Foden, we're just watching his interview here, is exceptional. I remember when I was a young Manchester United apprentice, and Brian Robson said, if Paul Scholes doesn't make it as a football player, we can all pack in. And actually, I remember Brian Kidd saying to me about 18 months ago, and I'm happy to name him now and say, if he doesn't make it as a football player, we might as well pack in. And you watch him here today. We've seen glimpses in the last couple of years, but in this last month or two, it looks serious. This is performance, it's consistency. And it's consistency that young players have to produce week in, week out.
Pep kept him on, didn't he?
He did. And that's the thing. Keep him on the pitch. And he'll keep him on the pitch if you deliver consistently. You know, if you remember when Raheem Sterling was here at Liverpool and maybe in his early days at City, we thought about, you know, he's inconsistent, he's erratic, but he's now consistent. And it's the most underused word sometimes when you think about football players. But the very best in the world, the very best players, whether it be defender, attacker, or forward, are consistent. They don't drop down here very often. And now Phil Foden's producing brilliant moments in matches. He's efficient in his play. He's quick. How quick is he? He can beat a man with the ball at his feet. He can run in behind. I mean, he shocked Henderson and Fabinho. And that's not just because they're part-time centre-backs. They're good holding midfield players who would ordinarily deal with a Phil Foden. They couldn't deal with him when he was running at them in the box and running at them in this wide area below us here. So it was a marvellous performance from him today. It felt like a day, I don't know if you felt it the same, it felt to me like a day where he came of age, where he emerged. We say delivering the big games. How many times, watching Roy Keane here, you've got to deliver in the big games. He's just done that.
And yet they got back to 1-1. And the other side of this particular story, and it's not the reason for Liverpool having a bad run at home, but today it was, was a goalkeeper who's been off sick, to be fair to him, and then had a three-minute spell that I'm sure he's never had anything like that in his career before.
No. And you actually, I think it's a good point that you made about the sickness, because if you're just not feeling that sort of your best and you feel a bit weaker and you just feel like your timing's not right, your sharpness, you sometimes feel not dizzy, but you don't feel like you've got your vision right in you and you can see things clearly, it really is a big problem for you. And I remember three minutes of madness I had in a Vasco da Gama game in a World Club Championships, where I passed it back with my chest to Romário and Edmundo, two very good Brazilian strikers. And Alisson, to be fair, has done this today. Liverpool would not be where they are in the last 3 years. If you remember, I was extremely critical of Liverpool's previous goalkeepers and said if they don't sort the goalkeeping situation out, they'll never win a league. They've sorted their goalkeeping situation out. This isn't just a blip. I said he's probably the best in the world. And yet he's had a nightmare, and that is always going to come. Whether it was Peter Schmeichel, whether it was David Seaman, whether it be Edwin van der Sar, whether it be Alisson or Edison, or whoever they are, the great goalkeepers, David De Gea, they have bad moments, they make mistakes, and he's been a bad day today for Alisson. But I think your point of saying that he's coming back from sickness is an important one to note.
Well, this wasn't the only Manchester Merseyside clash of the weekend, was it? And your emotions, you ran the gamut of them in the game that finished 3-3 between United and Everton.
What about this character here alongside us today? I think Liverpool go 3 or 4-1 down. He starts talking about Manchester United's failing title charge. No, I mean, look, last night I was at the game at Old Trafford, and I've walked away from games this season where Manchester United have won West Ham away or games of that ilk and thought, what was that? And I remember you described them as an odd bunch.
Yeah.
I come away from the game last night thinking, that was a really good performance. Things that were really connected, they looked like they were in sync with one another. And yeah, you talk about goalkeeping mistakes here. There were goalkeeping mistakes last night from David De Gea as well. And it was a bizarre, credit to Everton for keeping going, but it was a bizarre end to the game. You know, what we expect sometimes in the Premier League, 96th minute. But it was a real disappointment for Manchester United last night, because I've seen them play a lot worse than that a lot of times this season and yet come out winners. And yet they played, I thought, last night. I thought the performance was really good. I think there'll be question marks then over the centre-backs, over the goalkeeper. That will start to come, because obviously when you see mistakes like that, but it's been quite often this season where they defended quite well and the other end of the pitch, you know, they just delivered in moments. It was the reverse last night. They actually defended poorly in moments and actually played well going the other way in terms of the general overall performance. But it tells us where Manchester United are at. We knew here a few weeks ago, they're just not quite there in terms of winning the title. I never thought they were. I never thought they were, because the performances weren't good enough and there just was something missing. Actually, last night I thought the performance was good, but then still something's just not quite right. So, you know, didn't expect them to win the league at the start of the season. I know that people will say, you know, he'll say they didn't show the belief and stuff like that. I never expected them to have the belief. They're not there yet. I know it's disappointing, but it isn't surprising. I think they're on the right track. I think
were you surprised Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said, well, we're not thinking about the title? I mean, as a neutral here, you look at the teams towards the top of the table and you think they should be thinking about the title. If it comes your way, you can't not take it because you don't think you're at that particular level. They're 2 points behind Manchester City now?
Yeah, there's two ways of looking at it, isn't there? Because I think if you ask Pep Guardiola now, what does he think about the title? He'd say, we're not even thinking about the title. He will say that. I guarantee you he's not going to say, you know, we're in pole position. We're in a great position now. He's not going to say that. So I don't know any manager that would always... We can pick on these things and say, you know, I agree with you, because I think you'd want to be a little bit more on the positive edge of sensible.
You could say we're going to have a go. Listen, yeah, we're up there, yeah, and maybe we're a bit fortunate to be up there, but we're going to have a real go. And
yeah.
What's the harm in saying that?
Absolutely think on the more positive angle of it. But I always think that when managers, you know, Jurgen Klopp last year, even when Liverpool was something like 18 points clear, refused to talk about the title. So managers have a little bit of a habit of it. I just think there is probably a real... Yeah, I remember when Jose Mourinho was at Manchester United, he quite often said, we're not ready. He announced we're not ready. I remember in his first year back at Chelsea, that second time round, that first year, he said, we're not ready this year, but we will be next year. I think maybe if you're going to say something like that, no, we're not ready this year, we're not quite there, but watch us next year, we'll be ready. This experience now, we've got to go close. I think that's maybe where Ole could just start to just turn it a little bit. Not to push it ahead of not to push it towards next year and sort of dismiss what can be done this year, but I think it's clear. It's been clear in the last few weeks, drawing against Arsenal, drawing against Liverpool, losing against Sheffield United, drawing against Everton last night, that is not going to win you the title. And for me, I don't expect Manchester United to win the title this year, but what I would expect is them to get closer to Liverpool and City, and that is what I do expect, and I expect them next year to challenge. Because I would expect that there will be that centre-back in the club, maybe another full-back. The goalkeeper situation is one that needs monitoring, no doubt. Right wing will be interesting, and centre forward, depending on how Greenwood settles in this last few months of this season.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You mentioned Jose Mourinho. We should touch on him. He's had a win today. An emphatic one. We had Harry Kane. He scored. Harry Kane back. And, of course, with Kane back, Son scored as well. Yeah. But three defeats in a row prior to that. And the waters are a bit muddied around his management at Tottenham at the moment. What's your take on that?
They are. And I think that Van Dijk missing here is obviously a big story of the season. But if Harry Kane doesn't play at Tottenham, they're nothing like the team. If you remember about 2 months ago, maybe 2.5 months ago, we were talking about Tottenham being potential title challengers. And at the time, I didn't think that was going to be the case. But I actually thought they were starting to play some really good football. The connection between the front players was good. I thought Sissoko and Højbjerg in midfield were starting to build a relationship. The back four looks like it started to settle down. Aurier was producing his best football and Dier was cementing himself at centre-back. But they're in a little bit of a, like you say, a messy patch whereby it looks like it's gone back a little bit towards being lack of coordination, not really connected as a team, like they did in the early days where you thought, what's the idea here? But that could just be because Kane's not been there. He has such a big influence in that dressing room and in that club and on that team. And with him being back, then results will improve.
I'd like to mention West Ham and Villa together because they've either equaled or bettered what they did in the entire last season with only just half of this season gone. And it's great to see the capacity for improvement. Two clubs that have stuck with managers who have not always had it their own way. And they're bringing some smiles to the faces of their supporters.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of West Ham games this season and I think that there's a really good balance to the team. I like them. A little disappointed in them against Liverpool last week because I thought Liverpool certainly were flat in that first half. I just didn't think they laid a glove on them and didn't go for them. Socek and Rice in midfield have got really good presence. They're a formidable pair.
Did you see the Socek sending off?
I did. I saw the back end of it because I was at Old Trafford and I was doing it and was just preparing for the match and I saw it. And it just looked to me like he was trying to sort of make some space to get clear himself. And I think it'll be overturned. I think referees looking at in Stockley Park in slow motion is really starting to sort of influence them, and it's something they've got to get
Mike
right.
Mike Dean, the referee on the field, didn't see it happen, so it was a total VAR.
He went over to the screen, so it was a bad one. But the Bednarek one in midweek was overturned. I think maybe that one will be as well.
And Villa,
I like Villa. I thought they were good at Old Trafford a few weeks ago. Confident. I like Watkins up front. Grealish is a proper player. There was that doubt maybe 18 months ago where you thought, is he someone who's just a maverick that will dip in and out? But I think now he'll be a big influence, not just for Villa, but obviously for England as well. I look at England's midfield players, the options they've got with Maddison and Grealish and Foden. You think to yourself now in that last World Cup where England really struggled to carry the ball in midfield and transfer it through the thirds. They were okay at times, but you just wondered that midfield, how it would connect to the front. And I look at it now with players who can really accept the ball on the back foot and sort of half turn and really look like they can beat people with the ball at the feet. And I like it. I like the players that are emerging. And Villa are a good team. I like watching them. Where they've gone from, at the end of last season to here is incredible. And well done to Aston Villa for sticking with Dean Smith.
I know you like talking about an issue, and the one I can throw at you is something we haven't seen over this weekend as we speak. There's still more games to come. Concussion substitutes. What's your take on that as a former player who's probably had a few head injuries in the past?
Obviously a positive. It's been something that's been simmering along and bubbling for probably 3-4 years now and sort of half been taken seriously. But I think it's got to that point now whereby the game has to start to attend to these major issues. And this is one of the emerging issues in the game that needs sort of a proper plan around it. So it's something that ultimately is a massive, massive positive, needed to be introduced and has been. I think there will come a point in the future where it will be abused.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
Well, when substitutions actually started in English football, it was one sub for injury reasons only. Yeah. It lasted one season, I think, maybe two.
Yeah.
And then they said they'd do it for any reason.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen them used and therefore we haven't seen them abused. And
no.
For the medics, Gary, I mean, you work closely with medical men in your football career, player and as a coach. They have a duty of care to the player.
Absolutely.
And to themselves and their own profession as well. So
they do. They
I think
do.
It's not like coming off with a fake groin strain or anything
that. No, absolutely right. I think it's a massive positive. It's something that ultimately will be... the safety of players is paramount. The safety of fans in stadiums is paramount, absolutely. And it's something that should always come first.
Have we seen the champions today?
Yeah, we have. We have. I mean, look, I keep going back to that Chelsea game because that's where it felt like it all started. Up until that point, there were many questions that Manchester City had to answer. But that day, I said that Pep Guardiola earlier on in the season, he looked bored. At Old Trafford, the performance from Manchester City was so disappointing because you've seen them play with such great skill and quality, and then they just see them so boring that day. And
second
so
half at home to Liverpool, rigid, was like that, yeah, as well. Yeah.
And you,
yeah,
just looked at Pep on the touchline. You looked like he just lost his sort of little bit of mojo, and he wasn't there. And then that day against Chelsea, you just thought, boom, it's almost like a light came on, and the performance was really good. And they're playing without De Bruyne here, by the way. We talk about without Van Dijk. They're playing without Aguero, yeah, without De Bruyne. Yeah. So that, to me, just needs to put into perspective. And we did talk about Liverpool's injury problems during that game quite a bit. We know they've got problems at centre-back. The two probably most prominent midfield players are playing there. So you've got to say that's difficult. But City have got players missing as well. Kyle Walker's been an influential player at Manchester City. He's not playing today. Mendy's not here. So, look, I think that, for me, we have seen the champions. Pep Guardiola is an exceptional coach, and he's doing it here again today with a team that is partly makeshift, you know, without a centre forward.
He took 14 players. There were more, but he took 14 senior players to Chelsea for that game that you've been talking about because of the COVID issue. There was a little bit of needle in the game. We didn't really dwell on it in the commentary, did we? Because Jurgen Klopp suggested that Manchester City had benefited from a couple of days, or well, he said a couple of weeks off. Pep said, oh, it must be a couple of months, mustn't it? It got a bit childish across the M62.
Well, you know, I wasn't wholly comfortable pre-Chelsea with the late cancellation against Everton. I wasn't wholly comfortable with it. Something just didn't feel right. But the reality of it is that new variant had been announced, I think, in the previous few days. And obviously, you know, safety first. It certainly did help, I think, help Manchester City just regroup that week. There's no doubt. They had the Manchester Derby coming up in the Carabao Cup just after the Chelsea game. So it was going to be a formidable period for them. And Everton away were awkward at that time. So for me, you know, a little bit of advantage, but let's be clear, going to Chelsea with the team that they did, and it was a Chelsea that weren't anywhere near sort of, you know, they were in a good space at that point. You know, they were. You thought Chelsea would win. I thought Chelsea would win going into the game.
I must say, we've been talking today without knowing what's happened with Chelsea's game at Sheffield United.
No,
tonight. Yeah.
No, I thought Chelsea would win that day against Manchester City, and Manchester City were breathtaking. It was the best 30 minutes football of the season. And I'm a Manchester United fan. I've always been honest around what I've seen. You know, to be fair, today watching Phil Foden, it's breathtaking watching players like that. It really is. I love watching brilliant players. You think of David Silva for Manchester City or Kevin De Bruyne. Every time you come and watch them, you just think, wow, what a player. And there are players like that, obviously, all over the Premier League, and they're great to watch, but Foden, just something about the fact he's a local lad and that...
Yeah, how much does that mean to you? You made a career as a local lad.
It does mean, even though he's a City player, and obviously I'd prefer him not to be wearing a blue shirt, I'd prefer him to wearing a red shirt. I love Mason Greenwood, I love Rashford. I just absolutely love them. There's that extra warmth just because you think of the fact they've been on that journey that you've been on. And that my big disappointment, I knew at Manchester United they would get the chance. I know Greenwood will get the chance. I know Rashford will get the chance. McTominay will get the chance because it's built into the club. You have to give them the chance. Whereas at City, it's been doubtful. I've been doubtful about whether Foden would be cast aside. And when they signed Ferran Torres and they signed Bernardo Silva a couple of years ago and they signed Mahrez and they signed all these players and you just think to yourself, yo, where's it going? How's this kid going to get a chance? And yet he stayed there and he stayed there. You see Jadon Sancho leave a few years ago and you think, you have to leave Manchester City to get an opportunity? But actually, they needed to bring him through. They needed to deliver on him. And I think they are bringing him through now to the point whereby, not only bringing him through, he's in the team, he's staying on the pitch and he's delivering in big matches. And he's exceptional. He is absolutely brilliant. And I think, to be fair, Mason Greenwood's exceptional as well when I watch him play. I think he's got the ability to go on and be an unbelievable player for United. And I speak warmly about him because I see the same type of what would be natural ability and that sort of effortlessness to the way in which they play. And I'd love to see them both playing for England in the European Championships this summer. I think they'd light it up.
Gary, thank you.
Thank you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.